Amen. I'd like to thank the Holy Spirit for this opportunity. As I'm bringing you the word, I am also listening and that which the Lord has to say. I want to thank Pastors Fola and Pastor Wura for the opportunity. I want to thank especially my family, my wife and our daughters. And I want to thank everyone for being here. As my manner is, please don't let anyone distract you this morning because of that which God wants to say. I want to start by taking us to the book of Matthew. You see the same account of Jesus in Gethsemane in Mark 14:32-42, and you also see it in Luke chapter 22 from verse 47-53. So I might jump and make reference to any of these encounters just to pick out some things, because the three authors by the Holy Spirit were looking at the same situation from different perspectives or from different angles. So imagine someone is looking at me from sitting on this side looking at me. You can see this profile of me, but you might not be able to see this side. But those here would see this profile and not see this side as well. So we would just, you know, pick a few things here and there. I read from verse 36, Matthew 26, from verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." If you read some other accounts, it says a stone's throw. So not far from where he left them and went further a bit. I don't know if I should. Holy Spirit, how do you want me to do this? Okay, let me read the scripture then. Give us the text and the anchor. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." So he, remember, he went with his disciples. He left majority of them at a spot, went a little further and took Peter, James, and John. But then he then leaves Peter, James, and John and goes a little further. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, some translation, the other translation say he knelt down. He fell on his face, he knelt down, and he prayed. "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples. This is where the theme of the month came from, where everything happening in this season is anchored on. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away. He went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Praise God. We started looking at the will of God. You know, Pastor started the series, and on Thursday we looked at what the will of God means. We said the will of God is a lifestyle, is a way of thinking, is a way of reasoning. We took our text from Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. So today, the Holy Spirit would have to help me. You have to help me. I have so much. Okay. So when you look at your Bible, right? I want you to, if you have a physical Bible, I want you to open to the first few pages of your Bible. The title of your Bible. And I want you to tell me what it says. The title. It says the Holy Bible. Where it says the Holy Bible. What comes after the Holy Bible in your Bible? Okay? It says containing the old and new what? Talk to me. The old and the new? Okay. I know we have some legal people in the house. I might have to call on you at some point. I'm looking at some. They know themselves. They know themselves. What does testament mean? A testament means a will. So you see, when people are putting their estate together, it's called your last will and testament. And the testament here talks about, or the will, a man, a woman's will, talks about your set of instructions or a set of things you want done, your wishes, your promises, your inheritance, everything about you, you document it and you leave it with a bank, a lawyer, you leave it with a friend. The Bible is God's will and testament. It's God's will. So when we talk about the will of God, we are talking about the Word of God. We see a lot of times in our day and age, people running around asking, what is the will of God for my life? We most times find ourselves asking that question when it comes to the issue of marriage. But prior to that, right, taking that out of the way, this is the will of God. That's why it's called the Old and the New Testament. So you want to know the mind of God, you need this. You need to read this. You need to study this. Let me do a quick run through. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, what do you see? What do you find? It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning. So, I'm going to break this teaching or this preaching today, this morning, into two parts. One is, if you're writing down, to know the will of God is the first part. Then the second part is to it's going to hang between the first and the three parts, but there's a middle part. And that is to understand the will of God, and thirdly, to surrender to the will of God. To know the will of God, like I started saying, you must know this testament. You must familiarize yourself with this testament. Why? Because a person lives right his will, and when you make your will, there are a few parts in a will. So there has to be an author of the will. So you have to document the person that made the will. So you have the author. Then two, you have the person who makes the will has to die for that will to be activated. So if you write your will and you're not dead yet, that will cannot be executed. So please, just a word of wisdom to everyone in the house. Please try and write your will. Write your will. You know, I know your religious mind. I want you to pray and say, Lord, deliver me from religion. Your religious mind is thinking, oh, I don't want to die. If God could write his will, you should write your will. Please. The Bible, would you see from scripture, God talking to people, he will say, put your house in order. Because if you don't put your house in order, you are living disaster and confusion and quarrel and, you know, so many things. A will decides who inherits what. A will protects children and your dependents. A will protects your spouse. A will, you know, gives control over your business, succession. A will reduces your taxes and your legal obligations. So many things. There are so many benefits. That's why God would tell them, put your house in order. Then you see the men of old call their children and say, this is what will befall you in the days to come. That is a will. Imagine Solomon or David didn't have a will, and he left all the children to fight for the kingdom. So please, word of wisdom, write your will. I'm just working on a book called 23%, Why Black Families Still Rent in the UK. The last census shows that about only 23%, that is 1 in 5 black Africans, own their home in the UK. That's the lowest of all ethnic groups in the UK. The average is 65. Why? Because one of the things I found out in my research is that we don't make a will. People don't make a will. So when they die, the state steps in. And by the time all the lawyers finish with executing your will, there's probably nothing left for your inheritance for your children. And the research also found that black Africans leave zero inheritance to the next generation, as compared to the white ethnic population that leaves about £196,000. So please, please, just that's an aside. So to know your will, to know the will of God, to understand it, and to surrender to it. Okay? So first, you see, you have the author of the will, the person that writes the will. Then you have the person has to die. Then once the person dies, the will is activated. And then there's an executor of the will. Right? There's an executor of the will, and they are beneficiaries of the will. Okay? So those are some of the parts, and you see how that plays in. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. God. I want us to look at some scriptures. I want us to look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1, 1 to 4. Bible calls him the author and the finisher of our faith. Through him all things were made. There's nothing that was made that was not made through him. But let's look at scriptures. Let's read a few scriptures. In the beginning was the word. In the beginning was the word. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 where we read, who is the first person of the Trinity that we see there? Who? God the Father. Are you sure? Read it again. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God. The first person you see there, not the first person of the Trinity, but the first person you see there is the Word of God. He's introducing the Father. The Word is saying, in the beginning, my Father created everything. So in John chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. With and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Praise God. Let's see First John chapter 5 verse 7. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Word, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And these three is one. The three that bear record in heaven. Okay? Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 and 17. Colossians 1, 16, 17. We'll just do a bit of reading of scriptures. Where's my Colossians? Is it on the screen? Okay. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. Praise God. Talking about the Word, the author, the one who made the heavens and the earth. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture is authored by God. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2 and 3. Hebrews 1, 2 and 3. Hebrews 1, 2, and 3. Okay, start from 1. Start me from 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. So we find that God is the Colossians, give me Colossians chapter 1, 15. Colossians 1, 15. Scripture says he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in the heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Amen. By him. Talking about the image of the invisible God being Christ. So God is the author of this testament. And in this, in Christ are promises, there are instructions, there are guidance, prophecies, guarantees. There are so many things. All things consist in him. Everything we need, everything that pertains to God, to life and godliness, is contained in the Word. And this Word is his will. So we see the Ten Commandments, how God wants us to have no other God before him. We see how he wants us to serve no other God before him. We see how he wants us to honor our father and mother. We see how he wants us to not be thieves, not to worship false idols, not to commit adultery or fornication. We see how he wants us not to covet. Everything we need. How we treat our workers, how we treat strangers, how we live our lives. Everything is contained in the Word. what to eat, what not to eat, how to eat, how to live. Everything is contained in him. For in him we live, we move, we have our being. Everything about the will of God is in his word. Amen. Then we see Christ, the mediator of the new covenant. Because in the word of God, in the will of God, is the covenant and the inheritance. Let me explain that. You could be in a university, you attend all the classes, attend all the lectures, write all the assignments, and still not graduate because you were not actually admitted into that university. Is it possible that you can attend lectures? You know, your friends are going, you just go with them. Probably they don't take attendance, so you can join. You can even join online classes, but you've not registered for the class. This covenant is only for the sons of God. If I make a will, my will is only for my lawyers, help me. The will is for who I make provision in the will. And the will of God, this word of God, is foolishness to anybody who's not saved. What I'm saying today, the preaching, the word I'm bringing today, would not make any meaning to you if you have not been saved. If you are not saved, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to only the sons of God. So the will of God, you might know what the will of the lecturer is. Oh, the school is resuming tomorrow. And all that. You can know all that. You can know the letter. That is why the Bible said the letter kills. You can know what the Bible says about health, about wealth. You can know what God says about, you know, dominion, breakthrough. You can know all that. But if you are not a son, it makes no sense. Because when the executor of the will, who I'm coming to, comes, you have no inheritance in him. So the covenant, the first question is, do you have a covenant with the author? Let's see Hebrews chapter 9. Let's read Hebrews chapter 9. Let's start from verse 11 to 15. Sorry, I'm just giving you scriptures. It's important. I don't just want to preach at you. I just want us to study a bit as time will permit us. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, follow me. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered into the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, where there is a will, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Praise God. God is the author of the will, of his will, of this book. Follow me. Then you begin to wonder, why, if God wrote the will, why did Jesus have to die? Because it's the person that wrote the will that should die. No wonder the mystery of Christ, God took the form of man, came, the Word took the form of flesh, and came to die. I'll come back to Gethsemane. God authored his will for you and I, for humanity. But rather than just authoring it and running away, he came in the form of man to die. Because without, as we read, without the testator dying, that will is ineffective. So he had to die for your sin and my sin, to buy us back, to redeem us. So, if you read Hebrews chapter 10, if I read from verse 5 for you, it says, therefore, when he came into the world, he said, this is Jesus, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Have Gethsemane in mind where we read, right? Have it in mind. This is Jesus praying. But a body you have prepared for me, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. Verse 10. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Jesus in Gethsemane was praying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Not what I want, but what you want be done. Because what he was praying about had been written. Some of us don't even know what God has said concerning the situation you are going through. That medical condition that you are going through, the first part is that you don't even know what God has said. Unfortunately, you don't know the price Christ has paid for that which you are going through at the moment. Because if you understand that Christ has redeemed you from eternal damnation, you will not be afraid of your village people. If you know what Christ has done by paying the price, writing in the will his promise concerning you, you will not live in fear. You will not be afraid of what man would do to you. Because God himself has stepped in and taken your place. Let me not get ahead of myself. So we see Christ who, you know, like I said, a will comes into effect when the person that has written it dies. Then we then see the executor of the will. Who is this executor of the will? The Bible calls him the Holy Spirit. Let's see a few scriptures. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13. Please, thanks guys in the media team. Thank you. Let's run quickly. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 says, for it is God who works in you both to will. God works in you to will and to do for his good pleasure. Of King James will say, of his good pleasure. It is God working in you. Okay. Let's see Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. with the Holy Spirit of the inheritance, with the Holy Spirit of the covenant. The Bible said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. They are what? Spirit and life. John chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. John 16, 13, 14 says, wherefore, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. When the Spirit comes, he will guide you into the will and through the will of your Father. The Holy Spirit is the most important person in this dispensation in our time, because there are some truths you don't know. There are some truths. My friend's dad died, and unfortunately he didn't leave a will. My friend's dad had owned 2 banks, owned a brewery, owned properties across different nations. But he died, he didn't leave a will. And when he just came to spend some time with us, and as we were talking, by the Holy Spirit, I said to him that I sense your dad has an offshore bank account. I said, do you remember any of the lawyers that he ever dealt with? Any of the law firms he ever dealt with? He said, yeah, I remember a law firm, Mitch Condoria in London. I said, give them a call. I found their details. I said, give them a call and arrange a meeting and tell them you want to have a chat with them. And he called them. They said, oh, yeah. Come down to London. He went down to London. He looks like his dad. When they saw him, they were like, oh, wow. Your dad, you know, we worked with your dad for many years, blah, blah, blah. Your dad is a great person. He told them he's passed. I said, oh, sorry about that. And he said, excuse me, by any chance, did my dad have any offshore account? They said, yes, we worked with your dad. He has an offshore account and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, they started helping him locate the account and the money in the account. The dad died. They didn't leave a will. And so the children didn't know the things he had. The money was in the account, but they couldn't access it because they didn't know. So many of us as children of God don't study to show ourselves approved, to know what the Father has promised to you. The Bible says about the Holy Spirit, where's that scripture? He says that we have received the Spirit that is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to you. It's 1 Corinthians, First Corinthians 2, 9 to 14. You can bring it up. And 1 Corinthians 12, 3, 4, and 11. Some of us are working in offices and there are complex problems, complex policy problems, complex mathematical equation, complex socio-economic issues. And we are sitting with the same world and not having a clue. When we have the Holy Spirit that can tell you what the stock market is going to do. The Holy Spirit can tell you what the policy of the government should be or is going to be. The Holy Spirit can tell you about your patients. The Holy Spirit can tell you about your students. The Holy Spirit can tell you because he knows the mind of God. My people perish for lack of knowledge. We have received the Spirit that is from God to know the things that have been freely given. The strategies is in the Holy Spirit. And he will guide you and say, as you are reading your scriptures. It was one day I was reading my scripture and I saw, ooh. The Bible says in 1 Kings that David, Adonijah, while David was still, was old, Adonijah started parading himself as king. But God had told David that Solomon should be king. But Adonijah just started parading himself as king. And the Bible said the prophet came and told, called Bathsheba and told her, do you know what is happening? This is what God said about your son. You better go and talk to David. And she went and talked to him. And the prophet came and confirmed. And David said, okay, this is give instruction. And they made Solomon king. And God was telling me, if you don't put your will together, you are raising conflict for your children. They're going to start fighting and killing themselves. Your will sets direction. It was from just reading my Bible. No one ever taught me that. I just read my Bible. There are so many mysteries in the Word of God. So many mysteries. I was reading my Bible one day and I found the secret. So I came into the country as a student, and after my master's program, God told me I was still going to be in this country. And one day I was reading my Bible and I saw from the book of Exodus. Let me just share with you. Let's make these things practical. I was just reading my Bible because there's so much in the scriptures. Yes. I saw from Exodus chapter 6. I was reading the Amplified. Can somebody read Exodus? Can you bring out Exodus 6:4? The Amplified. Does anybody have the Amplified? Yeah. Can you read it? Can somebody read the Amplified? Yeah. Let them give you a mic.
I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their temporary residence in which they were strangers.
I was just reading my Bible. And I read the scripture and God said to me, you're a temporary resident, but you're going to become a citizen of this country. I was just reading my Bible. And thank God, the one of the lawyers that helped me during that time is here. But we went through difficulties. But this is what God said to me. This was his will for my life. Then one day I was also reading, and I found out the Bible says that in the land where you go, where you dwell, do good. It says, do good in the land where you dwell, for you would then inherit the land. God started telling me, you can't be in this country without contributing. Start volunteering. Just reading the Bible. And the Holy Spirit. You see, the Bible said the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. You can read the scripture, and what you read, God gives you a medical solution by just reading the Bible. It looks just, but this is the will of God. This is the inheritance of the saints. You cannot access the inheritance without reading the will. And you cannot access what is the mysteries of the kingdom without the executor of the will. The Holy Spirit will come and will breathe upon the word. It might just be, and Jesus wept. Jesus wept. But the Holy Spirit takes it and pulls it apart and shows you the calculation, the dimension. One day I saw quantum physics in the Bible. Do you know what quantum physics is? Is there any physicist in the house? Okay. How does the earth spin and is suspended in the air. Do you know we are spinning as we are now? But you don't feel it. So you are not nauseous. Because there's a way you spin, you become nauseous, you lose balance. But you are not feeling it. Do you know the mathematical equation the Holy Spirit did when he breathed upon the face of the earth and God said, let there be light. We think the gospel is just give me shoe, give me bread. No, there is a more to the kingdom. There's more to the will of God. If only you and I can bend down and study with the Holy Spirit. Then we went to court. Remember I told you, God said to me, for you to inherit the land, you have to do good to the land. We went to court with the Home Office, and when we were in court, I didn't know this. Then the judge said, oh, let's see what he has been doing. Then the volunteering I was doing came up. And the judge in the court, there are some people here that were in the court with me. The judge said, young man, there's a fair wind blowing in your direction. He turned to the Home Office lawyer and said, this is not the type of people we want you to send out of the country. I am going to give him a visa that is not even anywhere in the Home Office website. From reading the scriptures. Just from reading the scriptures. What are the things in your life that you've been struggling with that the Holy Spirit has just been saying to you? Can you come? Let us fellowship. Let me show you the hidden mysteries of the kingdom. Let me show you. When I go for exams, when I was in uni, I'll go for programs, I'll read, I'll go for programs, God's Christian programs. But I found out one thing, that any time I take my module, my course note to read, once I pray, the Holy Spirit will tell me, these are the things that are coming out. Just read these things, know them, and that's it. I spent 5 years in my undergraduate. I did a 5-year undergraduate program. I never had a receipt, not one receipt. Not because I was brilliant. No, but because the Holy Spirit was helping my weaknesses. Friends, God wants to encounter with you and show you things that you know not. So that you be an example. You can go into any job, whether you know it or you don't know it, and the Holy Spirit will tell you, these are the things you need to do. Once you do them, my favor goes with you. So the executor of the will is the one, the Holy Spirit, the one that interprets. You know, I don't know if you've ever led legal documents before. How many lawyers are lawyers? You know yourselves. I don't know if you've ever seen a legal document written by a lawyer. Brother Kuroch, have you seen a legal paper? Do you understand it most times? You understand it? Not all of them. I think lawyers do that deliberately. So that we can pay them. The English they use, I don't know whether it's King James or Old King James. Latin. But the thing is that you need a lawyer to help you interpret. So sometimes some documents that you're about to execute, they will say you need a lawyer to explain it, to make sure that you actually understand it. Especially in property, they will say get a lawyer. Let's say you're about to take a PG, they will say get a lawyer to read it. But you know, some of us just don't read legal documents. So the Holy Spirit is there to help you explain certain things in the Bible. How many of you have tried to read Leviticus before? How many of you enjoy, if you enjoy reading Leviticus, raise your hand. But do you know one day, I started reading Leviticus and I was amazed. If you want to read it, please use a simpler translation. Okay, use maybe NIV, don't use King James, please. I found out that in Leviticus, God was talking about medical things. That, you know, he says, don't eat the fat of an animal. Before, I used to think, I was like, what's this law? But I found out it was just health reasons. If you want to improve your diet, your health, read Leviticus. Some medical things. Read Leviticus. A woman gives birth. If she gives birth to a child, she shouldn't come to the temple for a certain number of weeks. Why? It's health reasons, so that she can recover. Everything is in the Word of God. Everything is in the Word of God. Everything, military strategy. Have you read the Bible? And it says when you go to war and you attack a city, don't cut down the trees. Have you ever seen it in the Bible? Don't cut the trees. When you take over a city, I'm not going to drive all the people out lest the land consumes you. Wild animals, you know, would grow. If you leave the place vacuum, it will grow. So I'm going to drive them out gradually. So in your business, you take over a business, you buy over a business, then the first day you sack everybody. You sack everybody. You don't know the operations, you don't know HR, you don't know sales, you don't know IT, but you sacked everybody. But the wisdom of God is gradually change and replace the staff and the systems. Don't do it in one day. There is so much hidden. The Bible says God is a God who hides himself, but it's the glory of a king to search it out. Some of you are doing back-to-back shift. You, every work that comes, you take because you have bills to pay. Didn't the scripture say, 6 days you shall work, the seventh day you shall rest? There's so much wisdom in the Word of God. There's so much wisdom. But it's the inheritance. This is our inheritance. But it is the Holy Spirit that would execute the will. So if you don't know the Holy Spirit, you are flying blind. Praise God. Finally, there are the beneficiaries. Bible talks about the co-heirs of the kingdom. That is us. You and I. Let's see Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. Romans 8, 16 and 17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him. If we do what? If we do what? Thank you, Holy Spirit, for this segue. Let's then go back to Gethsemane. So I've tried to explain to you what the will of God is. It's a way of thinking, it's a way of reasoning, it's a way of living. And that way of living is dictated by the Word of God, the will itself, the ultimate will. In the will, in the overall will, you find your will. If your father writes a will, I wrote a will, and in one of the things in my will is that if my children don't look after my wife, they don't get anything. Everything goes to her first, and then to the children. Okay? So, in the will, overall will, of God, you find your will. So when you read the scriptures, two of us might be going through the same thing, but what God is telling me to do is different from what he will tell you to do. And it will be unique to us, although the principle will be the same. So I'll give you an example before you run and crash. So I gave you the example of God says, work 6 days and rest the seventh, right? That seventh day of rest, is it Monday or Sunday or Saturday? Talk to me. Is it Monday, Sunday, Saturday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Okay. So, it will be unique to you. So you have to understand overarching principle and specific principle. Okay? I don't know if you get what I'm saying. It's like me, a man, going to buy myself sanitary pad. It's not specific to me. I don't know if you get it. Follow me. It's not specific to me. But if a lady, my wife, my sister does, my children, my daughters do it, it's specific to them. So don't just run with the letter. It kills. Let the whole, come under teaching. And come under the teaching of Bible said he will give you pastors after his own heart that will explain it. The Holy Spirit will explain it. So the Sabbath day will be unique to you. For a doctor, a nurse, that Sabbath might be different. You work 6 days and you take 1 day rest. It doesn't matter whether it's Monday or Tuesday. I don't know if you get it. Are you following? So the will, in the overall will, is a will for you. In the overall will is a will for your children. God's will for your children. You have 2 children. They are not the same. I'm learning that now. I'm speaking in code. Adeze, when she was born, just sleep, no stress. Marifendo, I don't think I've slept. My wife hasn't slept. What you are just seeing here is the body and the Holy Spirit helping me. The girl can eat. What? So imagine me trying to deal with her, us trying to deal with her as we dealt with her sister. That's why sometimes marriage, husband and wife, be kind to each other. My wife, I have time, okay. So, I used to wonder, sometimes my wife might want me to do something, right, in the house. Let me say she wants me to help tidy up the kitchen, right? Instead of telling me, sweetie, I'm sorry. Instead of telling me, oh, sweetie, can you help me, dude? You just heard the kitchen. The plate doing bang, bang, bang. Ow. Oh, imagine your wife carrying drill. Just carrying drill and doing. If you're a man and the Holy Spirit doesn't talk to you, you need help. Okay? Praise God. So, you are unique in the eyes of God. You are unique in your walk with God. Okay? You are unique. Your failures are unique. Your experiences are unique. Your background is unique. Because God has a specific plan, a will for you in the overall will. Praise God. Praise God. So don't compare yourself with others. That's why the Bible says anybody comparing himself with himself is not wise. Stop comparing your husband with other husbands. Praise God. All the men just said hallelujah quietly. Stop comparing your husband with other people. And you stop comparing your wife with other people. Praise God. So Jesus in Gethsemane, understanding, you know the will of God, but understanding comes by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would explain and expound the wisdom of God to you. But then, where we struggle, where we see Jesus struggling in Gethsemane, is usually surrendering to that will. You know the will. God wants you to be healthy. God wants you to have eternal life. God wants you. He has redeemed you. He has given you life. You understand it. That he has borne all our sicknesses. He has carried our infirmities. But there's still something in your health that you are still struggling with. So Jesus in Gethsemane, do you know the meaning of Gethsemane? Gethsemane means olive press. So Jesus goes to Gethsemane to pray. He goes to the place of where olives are pressed and crushed to produce the olive oil to pray. Friends, you know the word of God, but you need to add prayer to it. These days, we pray a lot, supposedly, but we don't know the word. The two go hand in glove. When you are praying, you must be praying according to the will of God. You must pray according to what? The will. What God has said in his word. You don't pray outside of the will of God. You pray the will of God. That is what God answers. The will of God is usually you have to press through. He came to Gethsemane and he had read that God wanted to crush him. Remember the Bible said God had killed him from the foundation of the earth. His blood, his life was needed. God was going to kill himself. His son. Because of the redemption to buy you and I back. But in that place of the will, he was struggling. A translation said his sweat was like blood. God wants us to come to the place of surrender because you know there are certain things God has promised you. They haven't happened because you have refused to surrender to God in the place of prayer. You know what God has said about your children, but you are not paying the price to pray through. And say, God, let your will be done. Although what I'm seeing doesn't look like what is happening, but Lord, let your will be done in my life. I told us on Thursday that we had a situation. Lot and Abraham had a choice to make. Lot was going to make a decision about his career, about that PhD, about his family, based on what he's seen. What he's seen is that Canada is better than England, with this few points of mine. The UK is better than Botswana, with this few points of mine. Mr. Moderator, co-debaters, panel of impartial judges, I'm here to confuse and contradict you with these points. The job prospects, the market index is better. There's a career progression in this job. Have you prayed about where you are? Have you stopped to pray about where you are standing? Because you could be standing on gold, but you are moving away to become a slave in Egypt. Lot made a decision based on the feasibility study, not in the place of prayer. Friends, the doctors have told you X, Y, Z, but have you taken the word of God and you sat down with God and said, God, unless you change me, except you help me, I will not be helped. This thing I told you, God said to me, was in 2010. That day I told you I was reading the scripture. God said to me that thing in 2010. What God said did not happen until 2019. 9 years. 9 years. I don't know what's it with me and nine. I don't know. Took us 9 years for my father-in-law to agree to give me my wife to marry. Can you imagine? 9 years of begging. And God said, come to the place of prayer. You can have the word of God, the inheritance that God has promised you. But if you don't labor in the place of prayer, you and I might never come into that. Leave joining all these prayers you join. No, I'm talking about you in Gethsemane alone. The Bible says, look at that progression. Jesus came into Gethsemane with the disciples, with the apostles. But he had to leave them. It is time for you to leave some people behind because of what God is calling you to press into. He left the 12. He took three. He went further. And he prayed and said, the three, pray with me. Some of the people you are saying pray with me are actually sleeping. He said, no, what God wants to do, this thing cannot come out except by praying and fasting, Jesus said. Do you know what? I'm going to skip a meal. Tomorrow I'm not going to eat anything. Let me just sit with God and pray about this thing. And he went a bit further, left the three, went a bit further by himself. The agony, the pain. Friends, are you not tired of the pain that your life and your family have been going through? Everybody in my father's side, twelve wives, children all over the continent. And I said, Lord, this has to stop with me. You see why it took me 9 years? Then after the 9 years, it took us 9 years to have our first child. Why are you going through the things you're going through? Because God wants to, through suffering, break some things off your neck. He wants to use you to change the trajectory of your family. And he wants a new line. But that new line that God is bringing through you has to go through separation. You can't be hanging out with those kind of friends and then enter into the presence of God. There's some business people here. God was speaking to me about you. You start one business, you fail. You start, you fail. And it's like you're a failure. No, you are not. You are simply going through the process of breaking. But the devil wants you to give up. He wants you to give up. That's why you are going through the challenges you are going through. Because you are holding on to what God has said. If I perish, I perish. I will not give up until my change comes. You must surrender to the will of God. You must align to the will of God. God, this health issue in my family, the doctors clack us and they say it's diabetes, is this, is that. Lord, it stops with me. It stops with me. It stops with me. Is there somebody in this house this morning that is going to say to God, this stops with me? The father said, the day you become tired, you will break this thing from off your neck. Because the will, the testament says it is your inheritance. It's your inheritance. It doesn't matter how many times you've fallen. The Bible said the righteous man falls 7 times. Yet he will do what? Talk to me. He will do what? You see why you need to read your Bible, people. 7 times you rise up and get up again. Lord, I said I'm going to do this. You know, I'm going to fast. But I didn't know when I ate that pancake. Lord, I'll try again. I'll go again. Lord, I don't know when I made that mistake, but Lord, I will go again. Because until what is written in the will happens in my life. Do you know that some people write their will and they put conditionalities in the will? Some of the conditionalities I've seen is that these children will not inherit anything until they're 18. Some will say they will not inherit anything until they go to a university. Graduate with a first degree. What is the condition that God has put in for you in his word? Jesus had to leave certain group of people, certain conversation, certain, you know, relationships. He had to leave them. Why? Because he wanted to see the will of God manifest in his life. Because his flesh, your flesh is telling you are old. You can't go back to uni. You can't start again. You have failed. Forget it. Why are you stressing? Time is not on your side. You can't start all over again. I don't know what the devil has been telling you, but I've come to tell you something. I've come to tell you the word of God. Get up and try again. Don't give up. Don't give up. The world system, they will tell you when you get to 60, you retire. And be doing what? And be doing what? And become a village gossip. Every time peeping through your window, looking for gossip. I told my mom, you retire, start writing books. Write a book about our family. Tell us stories. Write document about your dad. Tell us so that we can hand it over to our children. And she picked up and started writing again. You must not give up. They told her, oh, my mom had 2 of my older brothers before she went back to secondary school. At a time where it was a taboo. Went back to secondary school. Went to university. Got a scholarship. Played sports. Who says you can't start again? What the father is, it is not over until God, the word of God says, who is he that has spoken about you when God has not spoken? Who? The will of God for us is, this is November, but this is just the start of the year. This is the start of the year for me. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I am going to dust myself and I'm going to go, because God's will for me, that his thoughts are thoughts of good, not of evil, to bring me to a future and a hope. Do you know what God has said about you, church? Do you know what God has said? And are you going to just sit down? The lazy man says, oh, if I start this business now, HMRC, there are problems. If I start this course now, the course work. That's the lazy man. You must get up and pursue God. We must get up and seek after God. How many of you, I know I'm the only one, but all of you, thank God for your lives. I want to be like you people when I grow up. But how many of you have been doing your Bible plans and you miss a few days? What do you do? Do you throw away your Bible? You just press reset, restart. You just press shift the days forward. Those days when we were playing Mega Sega. I don't know how many people played Mega Sega PlayStation games. I know you people are spiritual people. Thank God for your lives. Play. Those days when they are winning you, maybe they are playing you 5-0, 10-0. You just press restart. And the game will do what? Restart. And the score will be? The score will be. Did you play that PlayStation? You didn't play those games? Oh. If they are winning you, maybe 5-0. And maybe the person winning you is your younger brother or sister. Your prayer restart. Press restart today. It's November, but you can press restart. I said it's November, but you can restart your life, your walk with God, your pursuit for God, your prayer life, your evangelism life, your living righteously. You can press restart today. Can we be on our feet as we pray? Don't give up. Surrender to the will of God in the place of studying and the place of prayer. I don't know what it is in your life that God has promised you, but you haven't seen it happen. I want you to bring it to God right now. Please don't be fancy. This is not a fancy prayer. This is a time to talk to God and say, God, except you help me. Except you help me. Jesus said not three times. Jesus prayed three times. God himself prayed three times to God. 1 hour each time, I believe, praying. This prayer is not just going to end here, but I want you to take it home and I want you to press into God. Can you begin to thank him for revealing his will to you? I don't know where you fall. Maybe you are not reading the word enough. You are not reading the will enough. You are not reading the will enough. Ask God to help you to study, to show yourself approved. To know the things that God has given you. Health, he has given you. Life, he has given you. Deliverance, he has given you. Boldness, he has given you. Abundance, he has given you. Eternal life is yours. This inheritance, the inheritance, everything God has is yours. But do you know? Ask God to help you. Or maybe you don't understand. You have not been fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. You've been just running with the crowd, running with the multitude, running with the horses. You get tired. Maybe you need the filling of the Holy Spirit. Why not ask him? Ask him. He said, you that have no money, come and buy. The lawyers will charge you a lot of money to interpret those legal documents, but the Holy Spirit has been given freely. A man was accused of stealing some money in his bank. He wasn't the one that did it. He just said to them, can you give me some time? And he went and prayed. And the Holy Spirit showed him everything that happened on that day. And the Holy Spirit showed him who stole the money. There are some troubles that you are in that the Holy Spirit knows the answer, but you are not asking him. There's a funding you want to apply for. There's a scholarship you want to apply for. But you need the Holy Spirit to show you. One day I was reading the Home Office document and I found something, a loophole. And I used it and it worked, and I showed to other so many people and it worked for them. It wasn't because I could read. The Holy Spirit just woke me and showed me and told me, go and read that document again. You need the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Why not ask him? Ask him this morning, please. I hope you are praying. Or maybe you need God to strengthen you in the place of prayer. Why not ask him? Teach me how to pray. Teach me how to pray. Teach me what to pray about. Lord, maybe you need to separate from some things and some behavior. You take a little alcohol, it's nothing. But you find out every time you do it, it increases the quarrel in your family. God is saying, come out from among them. You can't be pressing into me and be entangling yourself with the affairs of this world. You can't be pressing into me and you still enjoy pornography. You still tell lies. You have to come out from among those things. Complaining, you have to come out from them to press into me. Friends, let's just pray. Let's just pray. Let's just pray. Let's just pray. Basata yagada bragadosa. Those of you joining online, please pray with me. I don't know what you've heard. Barasata, but Lord, let your will be done, not my will. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. Your will be done. Show me your will. Show me my inheritance. Show me my purpose. Show me. Show me, Lord. Take me deeper into you. Take me deeper into you. Change my life. Change my testimony. Lord, show me that which I must do to be saved. Oh, you are here. You are just religious. You've not given your heart and life and committed and surrendered to God. And you are here crying. God wants your life. You don't want to be on the day of graduation. They look and say, you were never in this university. You were never accredited. You were never part of us. You've been playing church. You are not saved. Father, help us.